We're picking up now in our outline in the Revelation Bible Study 12b, and that is page 14 in the outline. The outline can be found on our website, firmfoundationri.com. Firmfoundationri.com on the Revelation Bible Study page, along with these 15-minute sound bites, if you will, mini Bible studies. Revelation chapter 3, and we'll be picking up in verse 10. We're within the context of the sixth church of Revelation, the church of Philadelphia. And Revelation chapter 3 and verse 10 reads, "Because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth." The hour of trial. What is the hour of trial? Well, the hour of trial, in the immediate context of the book of Revelation, in the letter to the church at Philadelphia, was that of localized persecutions that were going on throughout Asia Minor back in that day. But in pre-tribulation theology, it can also be understood to mean the great tribulation. So the hour of trial meant something to the people who were living then, but it also means something to us. Those who keep the command of God to persevere, and those who truly have faith in God through Jesus Christ, will persevere through the end, because the Lord is able to keep His children to the end. And God's children will also be kept from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world. The tribulation period. This is evidence that God will remove His church, those believers in the church age, from the earth prior to the beginning of the tribulation, the seven-year tribulation period. And this is what is known theologically as the rapture. And we'll be covering that in a little more detail as we go. But just to give you a quick sneak preview, the next event in the timetable of human history is what we know theologically as the rapture. And what the rapture is essentially the Lord coming for His church. And there are actually two stages of the second coming that we find taught in the Bible throughout the New Testament. There is Christ's coming for His church and Christ coming with His church. And when Christ comes for His church, He's going to bring up His people in order to preserve them from the hour of trial, the tribulation, the seven-year tribulation period, which would come upon the whole world. And after that event, the next event that's going to happen is that there's going to be a treaty signed, which we find prophesied in Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 through 27, between Antichrist and Israel. And this is going to usher in sort of like a global peace system, if you will. And Antichrist is going to come down on the white horse, and this is going to be the beginning of the seal judgments. And then after there's going to be three series of judgments: the seal judgments, the trumpet judgments, and then the bowl or the vial judgments. And after that, the Lord is going to come back and make short work of His enemies, set up His thousand-year millennial kingdom, and after that, the thousand-year millennial kingdom will give way to the eternal state. Well, that's a bit of an overview here for you, but the idea here is that in the greater picture, the Lord is going to keep the church age believer from the tribulation. So if you're a believer right now listening to this message, living in the church age, you will not be going through the tribulation. We've got it here in black and white, or red and white if you have a red letter Bible like I do. To test those, Trials and testings are allowed by God in His permissive will. And our responses reveal of what spiritual metal we are made. There are some who fall apart when the trial comes due to weak faith. And there are some who stand strong even in the greatest of trials. And if you desire to be in the latter category, the writer of Hebrews has some advice for you. And we read this in Hebrews chapter 5, in verse 13 and 14. For everyone who partakes only of milk, in other words, the basics, is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So those who are happy with doing the minimum in the Christian life, maybe they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, they came to God for some fire insurance, are going to have excessive trouble when the trials come. But those who continue to grow in said faith are going to be prepared, spiritually prepared, when the battles and the storms of life come. And so we have encouragement to stay on the right path. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 11, behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. No one may take your crown. And this is a general warning to the church to reject and oppose apostasy and false teachers. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 12. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem which comes down out of heaven from my God. And I will write on him my new name. And verse 13 concludes this section. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. A pillar in the temple of my God. Now this is a reference to the Old Testament book of 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 7 and verse 21. 1 Kings chapter 7 and verse 21 gives us the background in this particular reference. And the context of 1 Kings chapter 7 is Solomon's building of the temple. And in 1 Kings chapter 7, verse 21, we read, then he set up the pillars, there it is, by the vestibule of the temple. He set up the pillar on the right and called its name Jachin. And he set up the pillar on the left and called its name Boaz. Jachin means he will establish. And Boaz means in him is strength. And so, in the book of Revelation, the Lord is saying, he who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. And there are two pillars in the temple. The first being, he will establish. The first thing is that God is going to establish his people in their salvation. And the next one is in him is strength. That our establishment is based upon not our own strength, not upon our own feeble power, but upon God's strength. So God is going to make certain things come to pass, and through his strength, these things will happen. We will go out no more. We will have written upon our hearts. The name of the Lord. The name of the new Jerusalem. The city of God which comes down out of heaven. And I will write on him my new name. And when somebody gives somebody a name or writes their name upon somebody in the ancient world, that is a reference to ownership and authority. So we are under God's authority as believers, and we are under divine ownership. And as a result, we are established in his strength. Now, this reference to the New Jerusalem is a harbinger to what we are going to be reading later in Revelation chapter 21. And we're going to be covering that beautiful chapter verse by verse when we get there. Final application. Philadelphia, the alive church. Alive churches are made up of alive Christians. So I ask you, are you alive? Or have you been sleeping on the job, shirking any of your spiritual duties? Is there something that God is calling you to do? Is there a door that has been set before you? As there always is in the Philadelphian church and in the Philadelphian believer. If so, I urge you, dear friend, walk in it. The seventh church that we come to is the church at Laodicea. We've covered the church at Ephesus, the church that had lost its first love, the church at Smyrna, the persecuted church, the church at Pergamos, the compromising church, the church at Thyatira, the corrupt church, the church at Sardis, the dead church, the church at Philadelphia, the alive church, and now we have come to the church at Laodicea, the lukewarm church. Now, Laodicea means people ruling. That's a fitting name, because the people ruled the church at Laodicea. The people ruled it. Jesus Christ certainly held no lordship over the church there, as it is described. Everyone did what was right in their own eyes, in the spiritual sense. The city of Laodicea was named for Laodice, the wife of Antiochus II. Laodicea was the chief city in the region, chief over its sister city, Colossae, to which Paul addressed his letter to the Colossians. Laodicea is 90 miles east of Ephesus in Phrygia / Lydia, closing the circuit of the seven churches in Asia Minor to which the letters were written. As we said, near Colossae, and there's a reference in the book of Colossians to the church at Laodicea, so we'll read it. Colossians chapter 4, Colossians chapter 4 and verse 16. Now, when this epistle, he's talking about Paul's epistle to the Colossians, is read among you, see that it is read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. So, we've got the letter to the Colossians, and then we've got the epistle from Laodicea. It's not an epistle to Laodicea, not something that Paul wrote to Laodicea, but something that the Laodicean church wrote to Paul. So the church at Laodicea had certain questions for the Apostle Paul, obviously those who are faithfully trying to do the will of God. And the letter that was written back to the Colossians, at least in part, responded to some of the questions that the church at Laodicea had, addressed some of their concerns and some of their shortfalls and shortcomings. So the epistle from Laodicea was written to Paul, and in response, at least in part, we have the epistle to the Colossians. Okay, we're going to have to leave this segment here, and we'll pick up in 13a4 in the next segment.